Whole Hog Sports presents the Basketball Podcast of Mid-America, the premier Arkansas hoops podcast, brought to you by Landers Toyota of Northwest Arkansas. With Whole Hog Sports basketball analyst Scotty Bordelon, here's your host, Matt Jones.
Really impressive week for the Razorbacks in Kansas City. They beat Kansas State and Cincinnati at the Hall of Fame Classic. The Razorbacks take home their first early season basketball title since the 2006-07 season when they won the Old Spice Classic in Orlando. Now Arkansas back home this weekend at Bud Walton Arena. They'll play Penn on Sunday at 3 o'clock. That game will be televised by SEC Network. Welcome into the Basketball Podcast of Mid-America. I'm Matt Jones with Scotty Bordelon of Whole Hog Sports, Bob Holt of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette making his debut on the podcast. Bob, let's start with you. You were in Kansas City. You're still there. What were your thoughts as you watched the Razorbacks the last couple of nights, especially last night against Cincinnati? Because watching that from home, you know, the feeling I got was like that was March Madness in November, a really entertaining game between two teams that I think could be in the NCAA tournament in a few months.
Yeah, it was a really physical game. You know, we were sitting near the backboard on one end, and it was like a war in the lane. Then on the other end, you could see, too. I mean, there was a lot of contact. Like the refs were letting them play quite a bit, a lot of physical play. You know, Arkansas is so much different than they were a couple of years ago when they, you know, played small ball all the time. You know, Jalen Williams is a big body in there. You know, Connor Vanover still isn't super beefy, but he's playing much better inside. You know, Adisi Toney, I guess they list him as a guard, but, man, he's a physical player in there. And, yeah, I was impressed that Arkansas won both games, you know, shooting under 40%. I think that's a real good sign. They found other ways to win. They won with rebound. They won with defense. They got to the line. They outshot both their opponents by a lot of free throws. And that's how you win a tough physical game, I think.
Scotty, I was really impressed with the rebounding of Adisi Toney, and I've been that way all season. But he ends up with as many offensive rebounds as Cincinnati had as a team, six for him, six for Cincinnati. And Arkansas out-rebounded a Cincinnati team that had been a really good rebounding team, albeit against maybe a little bit of a weak schedule with the exception of somewhat weak. They played Georgia, they played Illinois, but they'd also played some cupcakes in there. But they were plus eight coming into the game with Cincinnati, and Arkansas out-rebounded them by 14.
Yeah, it was really impressive. And, you know, what stood out to me the most was the fact that, you know, Arkansas crashed the offensive glass and grabbed 18 offensive rebounds on the second night of a back-to-back when you think that, you know, these college guys aren't used to playing that. You know, in the NBA, that's kind of the norm. You know, teams are, you know, sometimes you play a home game and then you go return that game the next day with a road game against that same team. But these college kids aren't used to that. But they played so tough and so physical. And Jalen Williams and Adisi Toney really spearheaded that, you know, that toughness. And I think that's kind of where this team's toughness stems from is those two guys. And whenever your toughness comes from two guys that are your two best rebounders, that's a good thing to have, you know, especially against a really physical team with like Cincinnati. They had some pretty stout frontline guys, I would say. But DC, like, it's been incredible watching his activity on the glass and his offensive rebound rate. You know, according to KenPom's at 13.3%, which is, I just looked at sixth in the SEC, and everyone ahead of him in the league is 6'8 or taller. And he came into this event, I think his career high in offensive rebounds was five. And then in back-to-back games, he goes and gets six. And so that's just really impressive. And he was very deserving of MVP honors. And, you know, they named the right guy the MVP.
Talk about toughness. You know, Musselman said that he said, but there's several members of the team, the coaching staff, he said, who were battling, you know, basically colds, but they had not felt good for two or three days. And he singled out JD Notae, and, you know, maybe that explains why Notae struggled shooting so much. But I don't think it was just Arkansas who shot poorly. I was looking at the stats from this event, and especially from 3-point range. I mean, the four teams in this tournament combined to shoot 44 of 77 from 3-point range. And Monday night, Bob, they were all – three of the four teams Monday night were 3 of 22. I don't know if I've ever seen that kind of statistical oddity. But the team sure struggled to shoot there. And it seems like in some of those arenas that maybe aren't true basketball arenas, you see this happen. It seems like you see this happen a lot in March too.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously a different, I guess, depth perception than, say, Walton Arena or maybe other arenas, you know, at home these guys are used to playing. And I also think these are four pretty good defensive teams. I mean, obviously, Arkansas really emphasized the three-point defense after struggling. You know, they probably did a better job of closing out on people. Yeah, it was weird that K-State and Arkansas both were 3 of 22. But Arkansas, what they did was they got to the line a lot. And if you're not hitting threes, you need to, you know, free throws can be a big equalizer for that. Obviously, you can't get 3 points on a free throw, but I think they were 27 to 34 last night. And I think they were plus 10 over Kansas State, you know, in terms of makes the other night, big on attempts. I think Cincinnati only took like 13 free throws. So, you know, these are physical games. I think this will really help Arkansas get ready for SEC play. And then, you know, presumably the postseason. It was pretty good atmosphere, pretty good crowds. You know, Arkansas had a lot of fans, so did K-State. Last night was obviously an Arkansas crowd, but yeah, I think this, it was a nice event, and you know, Arkansas has got to be feeling pretty good going home after this.
You know, that's kind of one of the hallmarks of some of Eric's teams too, is, you know, he wants his guys to be high free throw attempt players. And he says it that exact way, like he wants them to be high volume free throw attempt guys. And Chris Likes was, I mean, that's, you can't be more high volume at the line than Chris Likes. He took 10 in each game and finished 18 out of 20. He finished on the all tournament team here too. So he was pretty good coming off the bench for Arkansas. And I thought his three assists in the game against Cincinnati were pretty big. I think that was a season high for him. So it was, you know, not only good for him to, you know, create offense for Arkansas himself and, you know, get to the line late and seal games, but, you know, set up some teammates too. That was pretty impressive from him.
Bob, you're an AP voter, and I know you're taking an opportunity to kind of, you know, assess teams as you're watching them as much as you can. Cincinnati, how much consideration do they get when you're putting your ballot together next week? Because they sure look like a really good team to me.
Well, they beat Illinois by 20, and Illinois was number 14. They started number 10. Of course, that was, you know, the Illinois star player, their center, Kofi Cockburn, he got suspended for the first, like, three games by the NCAA. Because what he did would now be allowed under the – he basically sold some I think, some uniform stuff or merchandise or whatever, you know. And that's allowed, but it wasn't. I guess when he did it, he missed the – whenever the NIL got enacted in the state of Illinois, I guess. So that was his first game against Cincinnati, but he had good stats. I'm sure it affected him some being off. But, yeah, I mean, they played Arkansas. They went up toe-to-toe with Arkansas, and they really, you know, manhandled Illinois after a rough start. So I would definitely, you know, give them some consideration. I usually sit down and kind of look at what happened, you know, to everybody during the week and teams maybe that were on the bubble of getting in the poll. But, yeah, I expect, you know, Arkansas, I think I've been voting them 12 when they were 16, and then I think they're 13 now. So I would not be at all surprised if they move into the top 10, depending on what happened to some other teams.
Does Arkansas look like a top 10 team to you?
Yeah, I mean, Scotty brought up a great point about doing that on back-to-back nights. You know, that's not easy. And, you know, K-State's obviously not going to be picked to win the Big 12. I think Cincinnati's going to be pretty good in their league, you know, the AAC. And, you know, it was impressive, and especially if guys are having colds. And, like I say, they didn't shoot well and still found ways to win. I'm sure Eric would much rather score in the 80s or the 90s. But it's a team with a lot of versatility. They can go big. They can go smaller. You know, Scotty mentioned, you know, Likes so clutch at the free throw line. And the thing he does is at the end of the game, he keeps the ball in his hands. You know, they can't get the ball away from him. You know, those teams are trying to get it out of his hands because they don't want to have to foul him, but he didn't really give them any choice. So, yeah, I think Arkansas is, you know, very, very impressive. I don't think it's just me. I think probably, I mean, obviously it's not me getting him in number 13. You got to have a lot of other people voting for him too.
Yeah, I think Arkansas is going to be at least bordering the top 10 in the next AP poll. I think they deserve it. You know, the way that they defended, I think, both games, you know, they had their best defensive efficiency rating of the year. I know it's early, but that's still impressive. You know, you're playing your best competition to date in Kansas State, and you post that mark. And then, Bob mentioned kind of the versatility of this team. And I think that there's no better case or example of that than DC Toney. I mean, I consider him a wing, but he plays like a forward on the glass. And then he defends like a guard on the perimeter. I mean, he was matched up. Most impressive thing that he did in a game where he did basically everything right was shut down Jeremiah Davenport from Cincinnati. I mean, he was their best weapon against Illinois. He dropped 19 points, and then DC Toney checks him, and all of a sudden Jeremiah Davenport doesn't score in a game that he's played in for the first time since February 2020. I mean, that's pretty unreal from DC. And Jeremiah Davenport, I think, ended up a minus 15 when he was on the floor, and he was, you know, obviously checked by DC. So, I mean, to me, I think Arkansas is a top 10 team, in DC and guys like Jalen Williams are huge reasons why.
Eric Musselman made a comment. I think he made it after the Kansas State game, where he said, he was talking about the 3-point defense, and he said it was going to be addressed, and it was going to be addressed loudly, and it was going to be addressed in a way that they would not forget. And when you hear a coach like Eric Musselman say that, it's like, oh Lord, you feel bad for the players in practice. But Bob, it sure seemed like whatever they did between their last game and the K-State game really got their attention, because they look like a different team defending. And even against Northern Iowa, I thought a lot of the shots were contested. Northern Iowa just made a lot of contested threes. There were some times where they got threes in transition or off an offensive rebound. It was better against Northern Iowa, but I thought the 3-point defense the last two nights was as good as it's looked.
Yeah, and I know in the past, Eric's, had him wear the weight vests and hold the bricks up. So I don't know if he had him wear two weight vests and hold up four bricks or what. I don't think he fit two bricks in one hand. I don't think I could. You know, those guys have some big hands, basketball players. But, I think Eric's the kind of guy that knows how to get players' attention. And I'm sure he made him realize, that they can't get where they want to go if teams are shooting 43% from three against them. I looked it up. Of course, small sample size, but going to that K-State game, Arkansas was, I think, 341 in 3-point defense nationally. And K-State, they only played two games. They were 10th. They were hitting almost 44%. So you think on paper, that's not a very good matchup for Arkansas, but they held them to 322. And of course they did the same to Arkansas. But like I say, the big difference was Arkansas got to the line. This team, I think they're handling the ball pretty well. Obviously, they rebounded exceptionally well. You wonder what they would have done if they had a hot shooting game, And one thing I'll say for Note, he did struggle. I think he was 4-17 both nights, but he had some key steals. He had a really big steal to help him get the lead and got the ball to Toney, who got fouled. Another thing he did was he's shooting close in, but free throws, he knocked his free throws down. I think he had two free throws to give him the lead for good. And then Devo Davis, who's obviously a good rebounding guard, but he gets a key offensive rebound, gets a lot of likes. They have foul likes. He gets the free throws. So, I think you have to look beyond the points and see what guys are doing defensively and rebounding. And, a key stat was Jalen Williams, all the stuff he did. He took four charges. I mean, he got 11 boards. I think he had five assists, 6 points or 7 points or something. I guess I should look at the box score. But four charges taken. I don't know if I've ever seen a guy take four charges in a game. And he basically iced the game with that charge he took with 9-something left, I think it was. They got the ball to likes again. He knocked free throws down, and that game was basically over. And then I think he took another charge maybe there at the end too with one something left. Or maybe they just fouled him. But there's a lot of stuff. Chargers don't show up in the box score, but those are really big stats too.
And it wasn't just the fact that he had four charges, Scotty, but he had four charges and he didn't commit a foul.
Yeah, Jalen is he's probably the highest IQ player that Arkansas's got on its roster, and they've got some really heady, savvy guys on that team. Jalen's he's one of those rare guys. He at 6'10", he would rather take a charge than block a shot. And sometimes you wish that he would just try to block a shot, because, I mean, if you swat one, there's a chance you could knock it to a teammate and, kind of ignite a transition opportunity. But you can't knock the kid. I mean, he's willing to sacrifice his body, and it tells you how selfless and team first he is, that he's willing to take at least 9 charges in 5 games when he's had back problems, early on in the schedule. But going back to Bob's point, I thought J.D. Steele on David DeJulius, you know, when Arkansas was down one, that was, I think, the biggest play of the 2 days that Arkansas was here. Because it looks like, you know, Cincinnati's going to get a chance to go up 3, maybe 4 points. And, you know, J.D. did not have his jumper with him in Kansas City. But Eric Musselman's going to trust that kid to be on the floor and be his go-to, you know, lockdown defender because he's improved so much on that end. And even though he shot, what, 8 of 34 in the two games, there was like no thought of taking him out of the game just for that exact moment. Eric probably knew that JD could make something like that happen. And it's pretty crazy to think that JD was the defender he was like early in the season last year. Now he's got 16 steals in 5 games. And, you know, he's got one of the highest steal rates in the country. But JD and Jalen were awesome. And, you know, Jalen too, like just going back to him for a second, like he just makes so many winning plays, even without the basketball, that, you know, he's going to draw some attention. I know there were scouts in the building. My dad was sitting next to one, Bob Wetlick. I think he used to coach Texas. I think he's a scout for the Nets now. He was all over Jalen Williams, loved that kid. So Jalen's got a bright future, and he really showed out in these two games, even though he didn't score that much.
The Basketball Podcast of Mid-America is brought to you by Landers Toyota of Northwest Arkansas. Stop by their location at 411 South Metro Parkway in Rogers, or visit them online at LandersToyotaNWA.com.
For all your automotive needs, shop Landers Toyota NWA in Rogers, where we guarantee you the best buying experience and best service after the sale in Arkansas. Landers Toyota NWA in Rogers.
We mentioned earlier that this felt kind of like a March game. I just can't remember a lot of early season games, number one, that were like this. And maybe number two, I can't remember a lot of times that Arkansas has played this well in one of these tournaments. I looked it up last night. It's only the fourth time, I think, that they've ever won one of these.
Kind of remind me of the Texas Tech game in the NCAA tournament last year. I don't know how many, I don't remember how many lead changes were in that game, but I think last night there were 14 lead changes, 11 ties. So just a lot of back and forth. You know, Arkansas got on a, I think they went on a 7-0 run or something to get about a 6-point lead. And you thought, okay, well, they look like they're getting some separation. And then Cincinnati came right back with like an 11-2 run. And so then you think, well, maybe Cincinnati's going to put them away. And then, like Scotty said, you know, if Notte doesn't make that steal, you know, DeJulius, he scored 24 points. He had the hot hand. You know, if they come down and score, you know, 2 or 3, I mean, who knows what happens, but that was a game changer. There were a lot of big plays in the game. That was really a big game changing play. And I, you know, and Notte struggled around the basket too, which is very uncharacteristic. You see, he was getting frustrated. And if he wasn't feeling good physically, that helps explain it. But personally, I like him to keep shooting because he's a scorer. You know, and he's a confident guy. And, you know, some fans may say, oh, I can't believe he kept shooting the ball. But, you know, I say, hey, man, he's their best scorer. I don't think he was taking bad shots. They just weren't going down. Maybe some of that was just Cincinnati's defense. Some of it was maybe just a tough night. Some of it was maybe he'd been ill and, you know, wasn't feeling real good. But, you know, I personally, you know, I like to see J.D. Notte take shots because he's pretty good at it. He had a rough couple games, but he found ways to help him win in other ways.
I don't want to get too off into the nerd stats, but I was looking at KenPom, and Arkansas won both of these games this week with an offensive efficiency rating of under 100. So they were scoring less than, you know, a point per possession or less than 100 points per 100 possessions, however you want to look at it. But going back to last year, Arkansas was 5-4 in games that it finished with an offensive efficiency rating of under 100, which is, I mean, it's not a great mark. I mean, you have 9 games that happens, you lose 4 of them. To win 2 games like that this early in the season, I think it really speaks volumes to the, you know, the how locked in Arkansas was defensively at times. And They were pretty mean defensively, especially with, you know, Jalen and JD coming up with the steals and, you know, some other guys pitching in blocks. Connor was pretty decent on defense for stretches. And I think it's just a really good sign that you can beat 2 really good teams on a neutral floor in a kind of a March-like environment when your offense isn't humming. I think that's one of the biggest positives from the week.
Texas Tech game last year, by the way, Bob, 4 lead changes, 3 ties. So not nearly even as back and forth as last night's game was against Cincinnati. By the way, did you know these two teams could potentially meet again next year? They're both going to be in the Maui Invitational. So that's something maybe worth watching. We need to check and see if Arkansas is going to actually get to go to Maui. You know, they've had the Invitational on the mainland the last 2 years. I think it was, Bob, correct me if I'm wrong, was it in Asheville, North Carolina last year? I think that's right.
Yeah, I think that's where it was. One of those tournaments was in South Dakota.
Yeah.
But I think maybe that was one of the ones that was supposed to be in Florida. But yeah, I think we had the Maui Nashville or Asheville Invitational. Yeah. It's kind of like when they played the Rose Bowl in Jerry World last year.
Maybe not quite that good. But
well, I just meant having it in a venue.
You know? So I think it was in Asheville last year. It's in Las Vegas. That's actually going on right now. I think today is their final round, and their championship game is tonight. I know people are looking forward to going out to Maui for that game, but there's no guarantee that it's going to be held on the island. I think it'll be the fourth time that Arkansas is in the Maui Invitational. But all of that is to say that Arkansas and Cincinnati could see each other again next season in Maui. And I think people would be really interested to watch that game, although the two teams would probably look a lot different given all the transfers that come in and the movement that goes on within the programs during the offseason. Next up for the Razorbacks is Penn on Sunday at Bud Walton Arena. I don't know if you guys have spent a whole lot of time looking at Penn. All I've looked at really is their record. They haven't played a very strong schedule to this point. They did open the season with Florida State, and they got blown out in that game. I think they lost by 35. But every time that you watch Ivy League basketball, it seems like it's just a totally different animal than what you're used to seeing. It's almost like the equivalent of a football team facing the triple option. It's just a type of offensive style that you don't see very often. Bob, what are your thoughts as the Quakers come into Bud Walton Arena this weekend?
Yeah, well, and full disclosure, I have not looked up stuff on them yet. I've been trying to get football stuff done and basketball stuff done. But I do know that's a quality Ivy League program. Usually the standards in the Ivy League are Princeton and Penn. I mean, Harvard's had some good teams. But I remember back in 1990 when Arkansas went to the Final Four, they opened with Princeton and Austin. I'd have to look up the score, but I think it was in the 60s. That's when Pete Carrell, I think, was still the coach at Princeton. And, you know, those teams usually do a lot of backdoor cuts. They're very patient. They're not going to have the physicality probably that a Cincinnati or, you know, K-State will have. But, I mean, we know they're smart kids. And then Scotty's right. Arkansas's got a lot of high basketball IQ guys, too. But these are Ivy League kids. So they're pretty sharp. They're very well coached. I think they know – they aren't going to, you know, beat a team like Arkansas running up and down the court. So Arkansas is going to have to be patient on defense, you know, and just guard for a long time, you know, and not foul. These Ivy League teams usually, you know, are trying to frustrate more athletic teams like Arkansas, draw them into fouls and get to the line, usually a good free throw shooter. So, I mean, I don't even know if they do a preseason ball in the Ivy League, but I would, you know, Penn's usually one of the best teams in the Ivy League year in and year out.
Yeah, I'm looking at their KenPom page right now, and I think you can pretty much count on they're going to be a pretty high volume 3-point attempt team. I think about 45% of their shots have come from three this year. They've got a kid named Jordan Dingle. He's a 6'3 sophomore guard. He's got the highest or the third highest shot percentage of any player in the country, according to KenPom. He's taken 82 point shots and 57 threes through the team's games to this point. Then Jonah Charles, at 6'4 guard, he's taken 63 threes and he's shooting it at 40%. So Arkansas's guards are going to get a little bit of rest between now and Sunday, but they're going to be tested again by two more guys that, you know, love to put some shots up. So I think that's going to be another challenge for JD, another challenge for Devo, who's, you know, those two guys are probably Arkansas's lockdown defenders on the perimeter, but you probably throw DC Tony in there. I wouldn't be surprised if DC gets, you know, gets matched up on one of those two guys at some point or for, you know, several stretches in that game.
You know, of course, Arkansas just played two games in 2 days. They're kind of at that stretch where I think you kind of find out a lot about your team. The schedule kind of ebbs and flows in terms of, like, you know, what's a quality game and what's not. After they play Penn, they'll play UCA, they'll play UALR. Charlotte comes to Bud Walton Arena, then they play OU. But I guess just in terms of the volume of games, we're starting to pick up a little bit. I think we're looking at something like, what, five games over the next 2 weeks. It's going to be a pretty, you know, good stretch to, you know, see what this team is made of, maybe from an endurance stamina standpoint.
Yeah, I mean, it also, I think we'll see how Arkansas's depth is. I know Eric is a guy that doesn't like to play a ton of guys. But, you know, this is probably a chance, and these are teams, you know, going into OU, Arkansas would be, you know, a heavy favorite at home. So I think they've established a pretty good rotation. Obviously, you know, Likes has replaced Note as filling the sixth man role. You know, Kamani Johnson got some minutes last night. But that might be an opportunity for Eric to play, kind of extend his bench and maybe see who can help him off the bench when they get into SEC play. But, you know, we know Eric, he's not going to play 10 guys, 20 minutes each or whatever. He's going to have his starters and his key reserves, but this might be a chance to see what some other guys can do off the bench too.
Yeah. And I think, you know, Arkansas plays November 28th, December 1st, December 4th, December 7th, December 11th. And then they kind of get into a stretch where, you know, they're playing, you know, four games over about a 17 or 18 day stretch. You know, I think in this next four games, I think you might see, you know, Arkansas, you know, if they can, you know, get things together, you know, they're playing games, I think, quicker than, you know, a lot of teams, or maybe they have in the past around this time of the year. And so maybe, you know, we see, you know, Arkansas start to hit its stride a little bit. You know, this team is right now, it's sick and it's probably tired and they're not shooting the ball well, and they're still winning and doing it, you know, fairly impressively. It's kind of ugly, but defensively it's been pretty fun to watch. But I think this next, you know, handful of games, you know, if Arkansas, can get on the same page and kind of get its legs back underneath it, I think they could hit their stride and be really, really fun to watch.
Bob, you hit on this a little bit ago, but that it was a home court advantage for Arkansas, especially during that Cincinnati game. I've always been surprised they don't play more games in Kansas City. This is the first time they've played up there in 26 years. It was the NCAA tournament in 1995 when they beat Memphis and Virginia in the Sweet 16 and Elite Eight to advance to the Final Four. Just seems like it would be a natural place for Arkansas to go a little bit more often. I'm not saying every year like KU does, but what are your thoughts about that, and whether or not you think that, you know, maybe this starts something, the good showing that they had in the crowd this week?
Yeah, it could be. I mean, you know, it's a lot. You can get to Kansas City a lot faster than you could 20 years ago with, you know, it's pretty much all four lane. I think Arkansas, I would assume, has a pretty decent alumni base in Kansas City. But yeah, it's a really nice arena. Of course, I used to cover games at old Kemper Arena. But yeah, I think it'd be cool to see they could schedule, you know, like Iowa State. Iowa State travels real well. Of course, they need to get a little better. But maybe, I mean, I could see Arkansas playing KU, K-State, Iowa State. You know, I mean, you have two teams that can both draw. It kind of like this OU game in Tulsa. And I think coaches, I know John Calipari's big into this, like there's been a snag with the Indiana-Kentucky series because Indiana wants it to be home and home on campus, and Kentucky wants it to be neutral site like, you know, Louisville and Indianapolis. And Calipari's thinking on that is he wants to get his team ready for NCAA tournament play, where usually a team like KU gets sent to a friendly regional where their fans are going to travel because, you know, they buy a lot of tickets, but it's not like playing in Rupp Arena. So Eric, you know, I think Eric's always thinking ahead on the curve, whether it's transfer portal or analytics or scouting reports or whatever it might be. So yeah, I think playing in Kansas City every two or three years with some of those Big 12 teams I mentioned, I think that'd be a pretty neat deal and would draw pretty well. And I think it's something TV would be interested in.
It does feel like this game and the game coming up against OU in a couple of weeks over at BOK Center, those are intentional. Those are games that are meant to get Arkansas ready for the type of venues they'll see in the SEC tournament and the NCAA.
Yeah, for sure. I remember we were talking to Eric, you know, kind of as a, when he was previewing this event last week, you know, he said he expected, you know, kind of like an NCAA tournament. He expected the lower bowl of the arena to be largely full. And I think he said that, you know, every team that was here was going to travel well. Well, they didn't travel as well as Arkansas's fans did. I mean, they were loud. They came out in droves. It was really, really fun to see, you know, just kind of mingling around the Kansas City live area before the games and even after the games. You know, Arkansas fans were here. I mean, they let you know that they were here. About the only time that I think any fan base was louder than Arkansas's was, for the most part, was, you know, when Kansas State was kind of clawing back into Monday night's game. They really got into it, but, you know, Arkansas gave their fans reason to be, you know, to cheer loudly and get a little bit rowdy while they were here. But that's exactly why Eric, you know, gets his teams, you know, to play in these kind of deals. It's great preparation for, you know, down the line. I mean, you're not going to learn how to play at a neutral venue and do it well without doing it, you know, well before you get to March. That game against Oklahoma in Tulsa is going to be another interesting game. You know, there's probably going to be a pretty good Oklahoma contingent there that Arkansas's fans will travel to. And that, I mean, that's just going to make for an incredible atmosphere. I know a lot of coaches and even some fans, you know, you want maybe some of these big time games to be played on campuses and stuff. But I think anytime you can get two fan bases, you know, maybe close to 50-50 and a neutral site, I mean, that's doesn't get just a whole lot better than that.
And back in the old days, it didn't matter where Arkansas was playing. They could be playing in Anchorage, and there'd be a big contingent that would go follow them. And it's starting to feel kind of like that again. You know, watching the NCAA tournament games in Indianapolis last year, it's, you know, limited attendance, but the crowds were strong. This early season deal in Kansas City, I'm sure it's going to be a great crowd over in Tulsa in a couple of weeks. It's a really fun time to watch this basketball team. We at WholeHogSports.com, we've got daily coverage right now of Razorback basketball. Make sure to come over there, read Bob's content, Scotty's content from Kansas City. Lots of good stuff from this weekend's or from this week's Hall of Fame Classic. And we'll have a preview of Arkansas's game against Penn coming up this weekend at Bud Walton Arena. Also, check out our Whole Hog Football podcast this week. We've got a review of the Alabama game and a preview of Friday afternoon's game coming up against Missouri. We'll be back with another basketball podcast of Mid-America next week. We appreciate you joining us and hope you have a happy Thanksgiving.
The proceeding has been a production of WholeHogSports.com. Look for our latest podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcast store. And visit us anytime at WholeHogSports.com for the latest news and commentary.